Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of Comic Pop Library. This is Richard, and I am recently back from the Kansas Library Association's 2012 annual conference. In this episode, I have put together several interviews that I have conducted with State Librarian Joe Butler, Friends of Kansas Libraries, presenters from Steampunk Catalog and the iGeek program, Kansas Library Association Education Foundation, and comic book creators Matt Upson and Mike Hall.
I could see it all so clear.
I'm here with Joe Butler, the State Librarian of Kansas, and we're going to visit today about the Kansas Easy Library through 3M and recorded books. And I know this has been a little bit of a long process of changing over from technologies, and I'm not really wanting to get into the changeover, just kind of where we're going towards and how it's going to impact Kansas and the different formats that's going to become. Like, is iPad on board, you know, Apple, is Nook, is Amazon dragging their feet, things of that, because I know some of my patrons have asked about the Kindle, when it's going to be available. So if you can explain a little bit about how this program's working, and I think they were hoping for March, but I know that's been pushed back a little bit for release, a little bit more. But if you can at least tell us if it's ready to go for the public.
Yes, it's absolutely ready. We know that 3M is ready with everything except the Kindle, and they're working on the Kindle. I just talked to them this morning. They have a booth here at KLA, and they were saying that they're ready to work on it, and they're running into a few bumps. But they'll get there, I feel confident, because we've gotten this far. And with the audio, everything works. The iPad has worked all along, and you can now download to a lot of different devices. I have a small MP3 player that I have downloaded to. So you can really download to most devices. We're still waiting for some of the beta bumps to get worked out. But we're still in beta, and we may be in beta for a long time, because my hope is that it'll just keep improving, so it'll never be completed.
On the purchasing aspect, I know the state's put out a call to systems and libraries about if you can help out budgetary-wise, send some money in to help purchase some of the rented, basically, the way I understand you might address that, or are we actually going to own it? But who do they need to contact to get the money to? Is it through the system, or is it straight to the state library?
I would prefer that they go through their system, because the systems are kind of gathering it together and also helping to buy the right content. But we are actually going to be owning our content. We're not renting. It's not lease. It's own. We kind of learned our lesson in the past, yes. So we have made sure that we have that clause in there, that we own content. I believe we might be one of the few states that are doing that, especially as a statewide consortium. But we are definitely owning the content, and if anybody wants to contribute or wants to buy, this is a great time to do it.
On one of the aspects, with other states looking at this, how long of a process has this been? Has it been a year, 2 year process? And I know this is a little bit different than just starting up, but if another state is thinking to do this, because I'm not positive of how many states are actually doing a consortium, but is there a possibility, if they are planning to do it, what's the timeline look like if a state's actually going to do this and their librarian will be under the gun to get it done?
Well, if another state wanted to do this right now, they could. I don't think there would be any problem. I think the beta is far enough along that it's a really solid product, 3M and the one-click recorded book product. So I don't think they would have to wait or do what we did. We really had that hot turnoff date that we wanted to address, and that was successful, I think. We had, as I said, we had some bumps.
On the access to it, you said it's pretty much ready to go. How much is content-wise is out there for people to go to at this point? And where do you see it growing in the future?
We've been buying a lot of new content, lots, with LSTA dollars and some state dollars from the state library. We're in the process of moving things over. We have permission to move about 70% of the content that we had purchased on Overdrive. And some of the, a couple of large ones have said no, but mostly they've said yes. And we're pleased. We're moving both the audio and the ebook, and that we're moving into two different platforms, of course. Some of what we're not moving is videos, which did not circulate. They were really educational videos that are outdated. And music, we're not moving. So that takes up a lot of that percentage that we didn't move.
If somebody's wanting to download some of these ebooks or audiobooks, I know this is primarily just for the patrons in the state of Kansas. Can you tell them what they need to do to have access to this product and where they need to go to access that and get into and start generating numbers for the state of Kansas?
Excellent. Go to Kansas Easy Library. All you need is a Kansas library card, and you can get that at your public library or any library in the state. And with that, you just enter your number and your PIN, and you're ready to go. You can download at any point after that.
Well, thank you, Joe, and I think this will be a success for Kansas. I think we've kind of been on the forefront of some of these things, so hopefully it hasn't been too stressful for you. I know it's a little bit, but thank you very much for visiting with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Richard. I'm here again at the KLA conference, and I'm visiting with Wendy with Friends of Kansas Libraries, and we're going to visit about some of their upcoming events. And one of the things I know you're doing at the conference, I see a Scrabble board. Could you explain what that event is for and the fundraiser and what your funds are going to be used for?
The most fun part of coming up with something for the KLA conference booth that the Friends does is coming up with a theme that will resonate with the people who visit and get them excited about the Friends of Kansas Libraries organization. So we decided that we all have a lot of fun doing this, and that would be our theme. Friends spells fun, and we pulled in the Scrabble aspect because we're all about words and books, and so we thought that that would be something that everybody would get into, and we've had the Scrabble board out, and you can come by and put together a word. We've got Geek on the board, so we're really excited to tie that in with the iGeek Kansas Libraries theme of the conference. We didn't want to copy them. We wanted to come up with our own because we like being different, and we like having fun. So we've got noisemakers. When we get a new member, we rattle our noisemakers, and we're giving away candy, and who hates candy? And we have prizes, and our grand prize is a $30 gift certificate from the University of Kansas Press. People are pretty excited about that.
The funds that are being generated here, can you explain a little bit on how that's going to be used? I know you have grants that go out to Friends organizations throughout the state of Kansas. Kind of explain how that works.
I sure can. That is correct. All of the monies that come into the organization go back out in the form of grants because the board is all pretty much self-supporting. We have, you know, some operating expenses, but most of the money goes back out to grants. And my library, Pleasanton Lincoln Library, was the recipient of one of those grants this year with a startup grant for our own friends organization. And so we had an organizational meeting, and we utilized the money for that. And we are up and running and just in time because we're renovating our library and we need all the help we can get.
One of the things, you do a lot of meetings, and it's usually a quarterly meeting. Is there any call for any representatives that you need at this time for your board that you can put out there for the people?
Yes, we have a couple of openings on the board, and you'll have to check with them. We have a lot of new members this year. I'm actually a new member on the board myself, but there are a couple of vacancies, so we'll get a word from one of the other folks about exactly where those vacancies are. Carolyn,
just a quick question. We were talking about members that could be come onto the board. What positions are open at the moment, and how they would contact people to, if they're interested, to be part of the Friends of Kansas Libraries?
Well, our board is comprised of representatives from each regional library system, as well as members at large. And right now we have two board positions open, one representative from Southwest Kansas Library System and one from Central Kansas Library System. So if your library lies within the boundaries of those two systems, please contact the Friends of Kansas Libraries. You can email any of the board members. Our email addresses are on the Focal website at www.focal.net, or you can call me at the Northeast Kansas Library System. I'd be glad to talk to you.
On some of the other areas, if somebody's interested in a position is filled, do you sometimes put a waiting list so you have a group to call from that you can say, okay, this person's wanting off, we might want to call these people and see if they're still interested?
Oh, that would be very, very good to have a pool of folks willing to serve. And we don't want to limit it just to the official board positions. We have committee activities, and we'd be glad to involve folks prior to conference next year in planning what we do here at the conference as a public relations effort, or adding you to our membership committee. So please just let us know. We'll find something for you to do.
Okay, Wendy's abandoned us. I'm going to talk to Andrea real fast. What's some of your upcoming events for this next year?
Well, the conference is really our big event when we really push trying to let people know who we are and push memberships and stuff. But we will be going out to Gridley, for instance, won one of our awards this year. And we will be actually going to their library and presenting that this summer for them. So that's really, do we have other things, Carolyn?
Well, I would suggest that libraries who have friends groups that are wanting to do projects for the library and they're maybe a little short on funds to do so, remember that we will have awards and grants offered again after the first of the year. So make your plans and let us know what you need. And apply for a grant from Focal. We have money we'd like to give away to fund your effort.
Well, thank you, ladies. Appreciate it very much.
I'm here today with Emily and Ann. They just did a presentation called Steampunk Catalog. We're going to visit with them about the history of cataloging and some of their ideas and wishes that they might have with the community. Emily is definitely the young person in the room. I think I and Ann got a few years on her. So. But we'll start with Ann. You have a special interest in the car cataloging and the history of it. You mentioned you would like people to send stuff to you, whether it's car catalogs or equipment. So I'm putting this out there. Any listeners that might be interested in doing this for her, I'll let her take forward and discuss what she would like and anything else you'd like to discuss.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I used to work at the University of South Carolina, and my friend and I there had what we called the Technical Services Museum, where we gathered in a whole bunch of old technologies predating the computer. We had a Cardex drawer, we had a book catalog, we had a whole lot of old technology. It was really good to show the students how the old technology still influenced what we're doing today. And so I'm trying to replicate that kind of thing here in Kansas. So I would love to have, if people have old equipment sitting around, now I'm not looking for a dumb terminal for OCLC. I don't need that kind of big old equipment. I don't have the room to store it. But card catalogs, a Cardex drawer, cards from a card catalog. One other thing I'm desperately looking for, if somebody has a book catalog, that would be wonderful. But I'm desperately looking for a copy of the National Union catalog. I just need one volume so that I can show the students what it looks like, because I can't find one online. So those are the things I'm really looking for.
During your presentation, you showed a unique catalog record that was a playing card. So if anybody has unique stuff like that,
yes,
definitely send your way.
Yeah, absolutely. This was the card he's talking about was from 1791 in France, where they did them on the back of playing cards. So if people have anything unique like that, another thing that I have is a set of accession books from the Ark City Public Library. So it's really interesting, and it runs almost 90 years. So we can really look at that and see how reading taste changed over time, how publishing changed over time, and it can tie in with a project that Wayne Wiegand's doing also about reading in the Heartland.
On the museum aspect, you're doing this for other conferences, but are you looking to try to do a brick-and-mortar museum eventually, or possibly with the university where you're at?
I think that would be wonderful if we could find a space to do it at ESU, to have a room set aside so people could come. I'd love to be able to have enough kinds of items to pack up and take to conferences as presentations, because those of us who started work in libraries pre-computer, we remember all of this stuff, but the people of Emily's age who have grown up with computers, it's just kind of amazing to them what it was and how we used to do it. And, you know, when the internet goes down, you've got to be able to do something. And this was the way we could do it back then.
and ESU is Emporia State University. I'm going to invite her to give the information for the universities to send stuff to her. That way it's not going to a personal account. So if you could give that information to the listeners, and maybe you'll, hopefully, we'll get some stuff this way.
My name is Ann O'Neill. I'm a professor at SLIM, the School of Library and Information Management at ESU. It would be best if you send me an email message, and then we can work out how to do whatever it is. I'd be happy to come and pick it up and also talk to anybody while I'm out there. It's A-O-N-E-I-L-L. At emporia.edu, and you can find me off the SLIM website as well.
If you don't mind, can I put that on the show notes? Okay. So if you didn't get it the first time, we'll also have a different posting with show notes so you can get it to her. Emily, to visit with you for a little bit, the equipment that doesn't get chosen by Ann, you had a presentation, and within the presentation about unique things you can do with old equipment, could give ideas for people that might still have this equipment and what they can do with it.
It's kind of sad to think that, you know, beautiful pieces of library furniture and cool old card catalogs are just sitting there and kind of doing nothing. A lot of libraries have come up with different creative ways to reuse the card catalogs. Some of them have used them as computer stations, the actual furniture, and then the San Francisco Public Library used their catalog cards as wallpaper. And there's a lot of artsy, craftsy stuff you can do, especially if you're willing to cut your catalog cards, although I know Anne would probably have, wouldn't like that at all. But one woman I found online did blinds with old catalog cards.
We saw some beverage containers, too. What were those about? And some other knick-knack-type drawers that could be used?
Right. Well, they're a popular piece of furniture now in homes. If you can get an antique card catalog, lots of people use them as a coffee table. But I found this one picture where they were using it as a wet bar, and the drawers slide out and are a perfect size for like some gin or wine.
Well, that's pretty much it. I'm going to let you guys go on and enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you for visiting with me. I'm here with Kathy, Diane, and Jennifer. They just got finished presenting a topic over iGeek Kansas Libraries, and Jennifer's actually with the main iGeek Library promotional that has gone throughout nationwide now. That started as a regional project to begin with, I believe, but just to get some ideas of what the iGeek promotional is all about, we'll get into a little bit of how they can contact or get to a website to find some information. Some of the things that you've done for your libraries with the Geek program, could you kind of let people know so they could put that in the back of their mind and maybe spark an imagination for them?
This is Kathy. At Dodge City Public Library, we've used the Geek program to let people know that whatever they geek or are interested in, whatever they're passionate about, the library has something for them. It is there to serve them. The next phase that we're going in is to let people know how we are funded so we can purchase these materials or do the programming for the topics that they are interested in.
And some of the programs you might have had that's been specific, just get the community involved, Diane?
Yeah, the main thing that we wanted to do is start a conversation within our community about the library and getting to know the people in the community and getting them to know us at the library. So we did a Geek the Wall campaign where we took pictures of people and they brought in props of things that they geeked, and we took pictures and we put them up on the wall, and then we built displays around some of the things that they geeked and had some program that supplemented what they geeked.
And with this promotional, what type of increase of traffic have both of you seen within your library?
I don't know that we've documented that, but we have people that will say to us, especially while the major part of our campaign was going on, how's it going? You know, that's such a neat idea, and I've got to get to the library. So it's more of an awareness campaign on our part. Now I know Diane has actual numbers on hers.
Well, we didn't really track how many people came to the library. Our point was to go out into the community with this campaign and be in at our Baser Dairy Days, which is our local community event every year. And we did our displays. We tracked that. We had a 53% checkout rate on the things that we displayed, that we pulled from our shelves and had people help us pull from our shelves on the things that they geek. But mostly it's just that for us it was an advocacy campaign, and we didn't track so much people coming in as we wanted to go out in the community and talk to people.
Jennifer, with the brainchild of this came about a year, 2 years now?
Geek Library's been around since 2009. We started with pilots in Georgia and Iowa and then opened it up to anyone in 2010. We've grown since then to 37 states and 5 statewide Geek the Library programs. Kansas was the first. There are about 58 libraries in Kansas currently enrolled in Geek the Library.
And if a library that hasn't participated yet, what's do they expect those libraries to put into the program?
Well, our expectations are pretty simple. Our expectations are just that you will make a commitment from both yourself and your staff to run the program for between at least 3 months. It should be longer than that, probably a year. That's really, we don't ask you for a formal commitment on how many things you'll do. We just advise you on that. So it's really about, do you have the wherewithal to get out in the community and talk to the community about the importance of the library? And we will support you with collateral as well as just being there for you if you have questions. We have a staff that works with the libraries for questions and things.
And budgetary-wise, what have you actually spent on this program? Are you actually having people support you? You kind of mentioned that, but how is your budget with the program?
We spent very little out of our own budget, I think $15, $20, something like that, for materials for a float. We got public donations from businesses for our kickoff, for our Pepsi and our hot dogs. Some of us just materials. We bought a button machine. That would have been one expense. But then we're going to use that for other things as well. Most of the materials came from the Geek the Library program, and we want to thank them for that. You can spend as much or as little as you want.
And basically try to make it an investment for the library for future use as well. To actually get started, where do they need to go and what website would they need to go to for the librarians or just public in general? Would they need to go to become part of this program?
For librarians who are interested in Geek the Library, they would go to get.geekthelibrary.org. There's all the information you need about what it takes to run a campaign, and there is a place to send us your name and your library's name for more information about the campaign, and then we get in touch with you and have a conversation with you, and from there you can decide whether or not you want to enroll in the campaign.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, Kathy, and Diane. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day. I'm here with Rita with KLAEF, the Kansas Library Association Educational Fund, I believe. Is that correct?
Educational Foundation.
I was wrong, Foundation.
That's okay.
We're here at the 2012 Kansas Library Association Conference, visiting about the program that they've established probably about 6 years ago with the baskets.
Yes, I would say it goes back further than that, but I know I've worked with them at least 6 years, so it's just growing every year. That's the amazing thing.
And out of the basket, there's a variety of baskets. This year's is Think Geek. What are some of the funner baskets you remember getting through the years?
Well, we had one that was called A Dingo Ate My Baby, and it was all videos and DVDs that featured Meryl Streep in them, and then it was decorated with Australian accents. That was one of the more fun. One I really remember that kind of started the whole shebang off was a huge chocolate basket. And then we also had a big lawn chair full of gifts. But nothing is more amazing than the ones we have this year.
I think one of the ones right now is a baby castanet with a variety of different things. But just for anybody that doesn't know what this is for, can you tell us what the money's being raised for and what it's going towards?
Sure. Actually, it goes towards funding librarians to go to conferences and workshops, so continuing education, also scholarships for students who may be going to library school, and also to actually fund part of the KLA conference. So that's considered continuing education also.
And I assume you probably have a link on the KLA website that they can link into and get more information about possible opportunities with the Education Foundation?
Absolutely. It's called the Foundation portion on the website. And also in the KLA store, we have a spot that just says KLAEF, and that's for donations, and we call that Paying Forward for Future Librarians.
About roughly to give everybody an idea of how much is usually generated through this program, just round it off over the years, how much do you think you've gathered each year?
Well, usually about $2,500, but I think this year we'll clear more than 3,000. It's just a bigger conference this year, and we have so many more baskets. Usually we number about 20 to 23. This year we have 30 baskets. I think that'll generate more.
And if anybody's interested in taking opportunities for the grants that are available, how can they go about that for continuing ed or a person just starting out in library science? Can you kind of explain the process of that if you can do that for us?
Sure. First of all, they need to be a KLA member. If they're a first-year member, I think it's up to $250 they can get for a conference, up to $500 after a few years. And I apologize, I don't have the information right in front of me.
That's the fun part about this.
Yeah. And we also do $100 grants for the conference itself, and this year we gave 10 of those. Right now, our application is not on the website, but as soon as the conference is over, I will get with the webmaster, and it will be on the website, and then people will use that probably to email directly to me, and then we will put that before the board.
So if anybody's interested, make sure to check out Kansas Library Association's website. Maybe you'll get an opportunity to get a grant through the foundation. So thank you, Rita. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm here at the Kansas Library Association Conference of 2012. I'm here with Matt Epson and Mike Hall visiting with their current project for Emporia State University. And we'll probably touch a little bit about the McPherson project first. At McPherson, this all started off with a grant. And Matt, if you want to talk about that a little bit, what you remember from your time there?
Well, yeah, I was the only librarian there, so we needed some instructional support in some way. And so Mike and I thought, well, I think we came up with the zombie idea.
Yeah, it was
and wanted to do
first,
the
yeah.
films, and we just didn't have the equipment and the funding to do them. Well, you know, we wanted to do them in a cheesy way, but we didn't have the money to do them cheaply or
and
cheesy
well.
And well.
At yeah.
yeah. So anyway, that fell through, and it kind of, I mean, looking back, it seems obvious that with Mike's experience in comics that we should have gone that route in the first place. But it took a few days, a few weeks. I don't know how long that process was before we realized that what we should be doing is a comic. And I guess because no one had really done that, people have done instructional comics, but not for, you know, library instruction.
And they'd kind of fallen out of fashion. It had been a long time since anyone had done any instructional comic books. So yeah, despite my background, it just didn't really occur to us right away.
I apologize. I forgot to mention that this is a comic book project. Were you involved, Mike, from the very beginning as well? And the grant came later for the project, so you guys had the idea already?
We were moving ahead, and Matt found the grant.
Yeah, the South Central Kansas Library System just had a small grant that we ended up using to pay for some of the physical copies. We did a lot. I mean, just, you know, Mike was there doubling as, you know, a student worker, a student librarian, you know, answering reference questions when he was needed, and then, you know, drawing in his downtime. And so just kind of doubling up, you know, it's a small library. We were all doing a lot of tasks. And so, yeah, that grant came a little later, but it definitely helped us get the physical item printed and there for our students and not just available as a digital, as a PDF online.
So cheap labor, basically. Is that what it turned out to?
That's what it turned out to be. I was paid hourly instead of working for my usual page rate. So, yeah, I actually lost money on the deal, but that's okay. It worked out fine.
And I know that all the students receive these, the freshman incoming class, they all receive these books, or were they for each student that came in?
Well, the original idea and the intent was to have them available for the incoming freshmen. I ended up leaving the college in April, and so we didn't have the opportunity to implement that in the fall as a team. But what we did do is have a release party where we invited the entire campus. And, you know, it's a campus of about 620 students. And I think we had over 50 students who came to this release party, and they all got their copies. I know Mary Hester, who's the current library director, she still, if she has any remaining stock, keeps it up at the front desk and is still promoting it. I don't know if she's using it as we had initially anticipated or intended, but it's, you know, it's her library now, and I know she's still pushing it if she has any copies
left.
And
it's still available on the website, too, on McPherson College's website. So, I mean, even if they don't have physical copies, the student body is still able to access it.
And I know that leads us, you transferring to Emporia State. Your current project is, again, another instructional comic book for the library there at the college. Is this another grant, or is this something that Emporia State is backing you on this time, or how's that falling out for you?
Well, this time, and we did another instructional comic after the McPherson comic for Wilton, Connecticut Public Library,
yeah.
And that one's a classic
monsters from literature,
monsters, yeah.
Frankenstein, Dracula, stuff like that.
So is this becoming a business for you guys then?
Very much so. I had actually left the comic book business to just go back to school, and I was intending to be a librarian or a historian. I hadn't decided which, and this actually pushed me right back into the comic book business. So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm doing full time now. Is I've got after the book I'm doing for Emporia State right now, I've got three or four more I'm contracted to do, and I just signed a deal with a children's book publisher. So yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Did you go with Matt to Emporia, or are you just freelancing now, or what library are you with if you happen to be at a library?
I'm actually not at a library now. Like I said, I'm strictly freelancing. It occurred to me that I was reaching more library patrons drawing books for libraries than I would have actually as a librarian. So it's just a question of you have to figure out what your skill set is and how it's best suited to serve the public, and that's just how it worked out for me.
If people want to actually get a hard copy, because I would love to, of course, but because I'm a huge fan of the comic book medium, I know you mentioned last year you did a presentation, or the year before, at one of the conferences.
Yeah, we did a presentation
for the McPherson.
I think it was
at KLA, and we had, you know, I've spoken with school librarians about it. I'll be speaking at eight. Well, I might not say it. Supposedly we have submitted a proposal for a short conversation starter at ALA this summer in Anaheim. Me and two other instructional librarians, outreach librarians in Wisconsin and Nevada. And hopefully that will be accepted, and we'll be speaking on innovation in libraries, and I'll bring up the comic as part of that. Mike has spoken at some community colleges in the area on the comic that we have done and comics in general. So we just kind of want to preach the gospel, I guess, wherever we go.
That's really good. We've kind of turned into evangelists on the matter.
If a library is interested in doing this something for their library, we also already mentioned it's kind of coming into a business for you gentlemen. Can they contact you and set something up? I know schedule permitting, because you just said you're very booked now, but is that something you're entertaining? Because you did mention you did one for another library. How would that come about?
Yeah, that's one of those things. They simply have to contact us, you know, and it doesn't matter who they contact first. I'm easily reached through my website, which is just cmichaelhall.com, and my email is linked there. And Matt, what's the best way that people can get a hold of you?
I have the website at upsonlibrarian.weebly.com, and that's where you can access some of my information and can contact me through there. And that's really the best way. I think Mike is probably the better contact, because his schedule would be the one that's obviously when people see these comics, they're going to notice the art first. And we have had shifting responsibilities in terms of who's writing what, but I'm never drawing anything. So the bottom line is they'll see Mike's work, and that will be what attracts them to the project. And so contacting him, he's the one with the schedule that would be dictating, you know, how we worked on projects. And now if they need someone to write something, you know, I want to work with Mike, and I don't know.
It's a package deal.
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
for the most part,
best
yeah.
That way, because I mean we're used to each other's working methods. And I mean, I've been working in comics in some capacity or the other since 98 or 99, and I'm really particular about who I work with. And yeah, Matt's
you haven't killed each other yet.
Exactly. Well, in fact, you know, I think I actually do better work with Matt. You know, I think we're a good team that way. So yeah, it's a package deal, but it's worth getting the whole package.
At a future date, are these copyrighted specifically to the universities or libraries, or can you gentlemen still sell a few at a time? Or because like me, I asked, you know, if I could purchase some of these to throw into my collection to show how people are using this and take as well. Or is it just what you're currently working on, the agreement you have with the university or library?
The copyright actually goes to the client, with the exception of the McPherson book. We retained the copyright on that ourselves. And so, yeah, the McPherson book, we have a little more latitude with the other books that we've done since then. The contract allows us for some promotional use, so I mean we can make sure that, you know, a handful of copies get into the hands of people we want to give them to. But
yeah, just contact one of us, and I think I personally I don't have, now unless this becomes an issue of volume and demand, you know, if I have a couple copies ready to go, I have no, I've sent them to people who have requested them, and I, you know, I've had 10 people do that, and it hasn't been cost prohibitive for me, so I have no problem doing that.
I've done the same thing, you know, so it's just, yeah, if someone has a use for it, out it goes.
If there's any money, if there's any money that we make, and again, this is just my standpoint, I don't mind it just coming from the initial work that we do. At this point, I'm not trying to sell copies and make money off of them. And
well, I think at this point, it's pretty much just going right back into either supplies or some type, because this is very ground floor. It's only, what, 2 years, you said?
Well, the majority of the money that we make is up front. It's from the hire, you know, the process, and the process of hiring us to create the book. So sales aren't really that's really not what we're worried about. You know,
well, we want it to reach a lot of people, and with the zombie comic, we wouldn't have had over 2 million downloads if it cost $1 a pop. And a lot of people would have viewed it still, I think, but
yeah.
The fact that it was free and could go viral that easily, I think that's what, as a librarian, I want that to be.
Girl picked it up.
I did. I just kind of bothered people, you know, and emailed editors at Library Journal. And I think
Mike mentioned one time, don't be scared to promote yourself.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I'm not a great self-promoter. I'd really rather spend time drawing, but Matt's really good at it. Yeah, you have to be willing to let people know what you're doing, because if people become aware of a really interesting idea, they're going to embrace it and they're going to run with it. And that's another reason we're not worried about sales so much as we are the profile of the work. I mean, that's what's kept me working. That's what's kept us getting paid for these books. It's not the sales. It's the millions of people that are aware of the book.
The current book we're working on for Emporia State is not an instructional comic. It's actually a promotional comic for the MLS, just the MLS program. We thought that it would be a great way to promote innovation and some of these things that we've tried to do as a team, as a librarian, promoting that innovation, and we thought it would be a great way to show potential students that, hey, Emporia State and SLIM is a place where innovation and creativity is encouraged, and we want to attract that type of student. And we're not just in Kansas. We're in Utah, Colorado, Oregon. So we have a large potential student pool that we're hoping to hit with this. And it's almost like a Christmas carol, in the sense of these students, potential students, are dissatisfied with their positions. You know, they're sitting in cubicles, and then this brawny ancient librarian bursts in and starts them on a journey through the history of libraries and some of the ideas that librarians share, both traditional and innovative, and where the profession is going. And it will hopefully attract them to the profession and the university in specific.
It's a really good opportunity, too, by using the comic book medium, which is a dynamic medium. It's a good way to remind people that librarianship has changed a lot, and that, you know, that I don't want to say anything bad about previous generations of librarians, but it's not nearly so
strict and proper.
Exactly. It's not such a regimented way of thinking anymore. It's much more outside the box, and you know, a vibrant, dynamic marketing tool like this is the sort of thing that lets people know, people from disciplines that might not think of themselves as being, you know, on track to go into librarianship, but it lets them know, you know, this is a profession that's thinking in new directions now. There may be a place for you.
Is there anything else, gentlemen, want to do? I don't want to take up too much of your time. If there's anything else you want to mention?
Well, I think one more thing about this comic is the one that we're working on. It's not just the promotional tool for the university, but I think librarians all over would enjoy picking it up, and you know, it's tongue-in-cheek. We don't, and this is something we've tried to work into all of the comics we've done, is librarianship is it's serious. It can be scholarly, but it can be goofy, it can be fun, it can be exciting. If we don't take ourselves too seriously, I think we can reach patrons or students more effectively and make them more comfortable with who we are and what we do. That's really been the whole goal of all of these, even if it's an instructional comic or a promotional comic. You know, I think that we've hit on something that's appealing to non-librarians as well as librarians, and hopefully that will continue to pan out.
Well, thank you both, gentlemen. I'll let you get back. Appreciate the work you're doing to promote the libraries.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you too. Thanks.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.